Ready? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Tonight's topic is about the creed. This is something that we use all the time. All of you know about it. You recite the creed. I'm very sure no one in this room does not know how to recite the creed, I hope. Why do we have to have a creed or a dogma? In order to do that, I think if you have Bibles, you can open up to the book of Acts 8:26 to 24. You have Bibles or no? Acts 8. And starts with verse 26. And it's about the story. If somebody can read it loudly and quickly. Whoever reads quickly. Okay, you can. All right. Are you guys ready? You have Bibles? Okay. Go ahead, please.
An angel said to the Lord, get up and go south on the road that goes down to Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went. There he met an Ethiopian, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, sitting in his chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join the chariot." Philip ran up to it and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, How in the world can I? Unless someone guides me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture the man was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In humiliation, justice was taken from him. Who can describe his posterity? For his life was taken away from the earth." Then I said to Philip, "Please tell me who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?" So Philip started speaking, and in the beginning of the scripture proclaimed the good news about the nation. Now, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and then Anon said, "Look, there's water. What does this stop me from being baptized?" So they ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and Anon went down in the water, and Philip baptized them. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and Anon did not see him anymore.
Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. The key verse that we want to go around today to answer my question. What was my question again? Why do we have to have a creed? Right? Alright. So the creed is a way that you show your faith. Is a way to say. And verse 37 here, it said, "Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may You may be baptized. If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. I can baptize you just with one condition, if you believe. So the creed is a way to say, what do you believe in? That's why we have a creed. The creed shows what your faith. Do you know when the creed was formed and why it was formed? Probably most of part of you know. The creed was the defense of some of the heresies that came in the 4th century. All of you have probably heard about Arius and the Arianism. When he came, Arius was a priest, Lebanon priest, and he said that Christ is not God. The word is not God. They tried to speak to him over and over, and he couldn't really believe in what they were saying, and he did not accept what they said. So the first ecumenical council in the history of the church, not in the Bible, you know, there was one could be council in the book of Acts. Do you know which one?
Jerusalem.
Oh, huh? Jerusalem. Yes. Acts 15. This is the first council in the Bible in Acts 15. But this is the first ecumenical council. It was held in Nicaea in 325 AD to defend the faith of Christianity and to say, no, what you're saying is wrong. The word Christ is God. As you know, this council have 318 patriarchs, metropolitans, archbishops, and bishops. They all were collectively gathered in Nicaea, and they defended the faith, and they excommunicated Arius, and they formed the first part of the creed, because the creed was formed in two slots, in two parts. That was the first part, until from we believe, truly we believe, until the word yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, dot. That's it. It ended at that point. That was the first part. It was formed in the year 325 AD. The second part was formed about 50 years later, when another heresy arose, where Macedonius or the Macedonians denied the divinity of the Holy Spirit. So in 381 AD, the second ecumenical council was held in Constantinople with 150 patriarchs and bishops, and they continued the creed from what was left until the end of the creed. So it's two parts. Let's go further. I went over the creed and had my daughter to count the words. It was about 220 words, English words. You can do that on your own. I need you to think about this for a moment. About 220 words. Those words were written by by about 468 patriarchs, archbishops, metropolitans, and bishops. And it was written in a duration for about 50 years. Every word was selected cautiously and carefully to make sure that it defines exactly what the faith is. That's why the creed is so important and is so essential and is so precise and is so accurate. The creed is what every Christian in the whole world believes in. If you see a person does not believe in the creed, he or she is not Christian, period. The creed continues of the main faith or our dogma faith and doctrines. The creed is a way to understand what you believe in without confusion and without without fading. You know, it's a word you have, it's that way. We believe in one God. So it's not many gods, as we're going to go with. We're going to go over that. The creed is a short way or a short passage to explain your faith. And it's also a way to measure your faith against other faiths. So if somebody tells you that's what I believe in, What do you believe in? You say, that's my faith. So it's like a mirror. It's like a measure to tell you, that's my faith. It's not just a way to show your faith, and it's not just a measure to measure your faith against other faces or other faces against your faith, but most importantly, it's a way of salvation. The creed is a way of your salvation and my salvation. So that's why it's so important, and that's why also the creed is a prayer. If you think about our liturgical prayers, you find the creed is in our prayers. You find it in the liturgy. You find it in the Agbaya. You find it in if somebody is baptized. And also when baptism arises, there is a way to say the creed, but a short way. I don't know how many times if you attended any baptism, but there is a small creed. It's called the Apostolic Creed. If you see Mama or the Ishbin, what's the Ishbin called? The Godfather, Godparent, right? You know the Ishbin? You don't know what Ishbin is? Okay. Anyone is baptized has to have an Ishbin. What's an Ishbin? Like a Godparent. Like a God. Why? Because this person, the church is saying, now I baptize this person. But this person needs somebody to take care of. Who's gonna take care of a baby? Somebody is very close to him or to her. But he, the Ishbin or the Godparent, has to be a Coptic Christian person. So let's say a father and a mother that are not Christians or not Coptic Orthodox. So they were married somewhere else in other church. But they have a child and they need this child to baptize. Will be baptized them or not, that child? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. But with one condition, that the Ishbin or the Godparent cannot be neither the Baba or Mom, because they are not Pope. Any of them is Coptic. He or she is not participating in our church. Yes.
So is the
Ishbin.
Yeah.
The Godparent.
Is that only like if the parents are Orthodox?
No, for anyone. So for anyone, even Coptic, usually Mama is the Ishbin. Usually. That's why she's holding the baby. That's why she's gonna present the baby to take communion after baptism. She's the one who's gonna take care of this baby until they grow up, bring them to church, Sunday school, have them to teach them to pray, and so forth and so on. Even if they are, the parents are from other religion, not just from other denomination, but they have to be a participating, the Godparent has to be a participating member in the church. But the reason I was saying this, if you see this happens, usually the Ishbin or the Godparent will hold the baby and then will raise their hand and say, I renounce you, all the devil and all your actions and all your activities. Hey, have you seen this? While they are looking into the west. And then they go to the east and say what? Do you know what they say? Huh? It's like, I need you to go in the baptistry when you have a chance and take a look at it. What is this? Is a short creed, actually. And instead of saying the whole creed, we believe in one God, God the Father, Pentecost, it's a short creed. But it does have about 6 or 7 dogmas of what we believe in, as we're going to go over the real creed right now. Our creed consists of 7 main ideas or dogmas. That's what we're going to go over. First, we believe in one God. So, this is something that all of Christians and all of probably most of the religions in the world, heavenly religions, would like this part. We believe in one God. Right? Either us, or the Jews, or the Muslims. We all believe in one God. This is the good part. And that's what we say, even in the very short way of showing our faith, we say, we, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So, this is to show our faith. We believe in one God. That means that we do not believe in many gods. And it's just one God that we know. We all believe in this God. When we say we believe, or sometimes we say truly we believe, why don't I say I believe? Well, the belief is really personal. So some people say I believe, and some of the other I think denomination starts with I believe. But as us, we used to say we believe because it's one God. It's our Father. And we are the children. So we say, we believe. If He's our Father, that means we say, so okay, we believe in you. We believe in one God. One God. This is something very shallow about God. It's very important, because you know that many people in this world today have different gods, right? Still, when you go to China, when you go to India, when you go to other places, they still have many gods. So this is a very important fact. However, it's shallow. This is like first graders. First grade. But for us, as Christians, God showed us more than this. He showed us not kindergarten, not first degree. He said, I'm going to really show you what my nature is. I'm going to take you to the second level. I'm going to take you to college. What is the nature of me? So this is the rest of the creed. Showing the nature of God. Do we believe in one God as a single God? Yes, no, or maybe?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Huh.
No. Why?
Yes. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes. It's not a single God. You need to understand this a little bit. A single God means it's very limited. Single. It's one God. But it's single God?
It's a single with three natures.
Yes, yes. But single, you want to say it's not a single. We can call it another way. But let me... We can't say it's one God in union. Right? In union. Single is very limited. Even if I tell you, are you a single person? If you think about it. Yeah. You have more than one nature in you, right? You know
but
that?
Still I'm a single person.
Right, yes, but you're limited. You're limited. But God is unlimited. Why we can't accept really God to be single? Let me tell you, one thing I forgot to tell you. The creed is a way to show who God is as He revealed to us, not the way we understand Him. We wanted to draw God, because a lot of people like to draw who God is. And you know that this is a problem in our church today. People like to see God the way they want. So some people want to see God as the merciful God, and that's it. Is that God? That's part of God. Some people may say, see God as the judge. Is that God? It's a part. Some people want to see God the lover. Is that the whole God? It's, yes, but they are all in God. You know what, you understand what I'm trying to say? So God is not a single God, but it's one God in union. You have more than one nature in you. Me too. I am body. That's a nature, right? But there is another nature in me, which is what?
Spirit.
And that's what happened when I die. When I die, what happened? A separation between this and the spirit. The spirit goes to its creator, and this goes back to dust. From dust, and it goes back to dust. So now, it's two natures. If I do have two natures, or طبعاً ممكن نقول the third nature is the
intelligence,
yes, the mind, the thoughts, right? If I do have this kind of all these three together, can I say just God is a single God? Just that it would be very limited. So what we believe in one God, but as union. Okay? That's one very important thing for us to understand. One God in nature, but three in person. Three persons. You don't want to be confused about three persons. You think, what is a person? Person means, even the word person is a little bit limited. The best word is the hypostasis. Hypostasis. Each hypostasis or each person is not the same as the other. So the Father is not the Son. And the Son is not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not the Father. I think you're going to speak about this one time. Yeah, in details, right? So I'm not going to go through this. But part of the creed will tell us more about what we believe in. God is one, not single, but union. One last thing before I go to the creed. Why is it three? Why is not two or four? Why? Why? Yes, because God revealed to us it's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But why is not four? Why is not two? Yeah, and this is simple. You like math?
So it has to be an odd number?
You need three dots.
Yes.
Three legs make a stool.
Why? Why is not two?
Does it make a line?
One is just limited, right? Yes.
Because the triangle is able to.
Like you're getting there, I think. Yes.
The least number of points is three to get a plane instead of a line.
Yes. This is the least number of to get a surface or to get a distance, مساحة. You know what I mean? A dot one is just very limited. If you do two, it's just a line, right? But if you do three, triangle. How big this triangle can be? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? It's the least number that can cover the universe, right? So it has to be not less than three. And again, that's not what we want God to be. But He revealed to us that He is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay? All right. Now, let's go continue the creed. We believe in one God. God the Father. Here is the now we're going not from kindergarten or the first grade, we're going to college. Now God revealed to us who He is. God the Father, in Arabic, al-Ab, bil-haqiqa nu'min, bi-ilahin wahid, Allah al-Ab. Ab is like an origin. It's like origin. Al-Ab, the name. I don't want to say any word that could be very a little confusing, but Al-Ab means the base. El-Ab. Or you can look at it as the father, because usually the father is the first. Right? But I can't even say the first, because there is no first and last and second. You know what I mean? But the father is the, when you think the best thing they say, if I say the sun has its body and it has its light and it emits heat. So this is the sun. Like this is the father. In a way, you know, to understand, okay? So the father, one God, the father, the Pantocrator, very important to understand or to really mean the word Pantocrator when you pray. Pantocrator. If he is the Pantocrator, Dawit al-Kul, that means everything happened, this universe, it has to be with his permission. That gives you faith in him. That makes you rely on him. You know what I mean? Pantocrator, Dawit al-Kul. He's able to do everything in this world. So this is good. This is so powerful. The word Pantocrator, it's not in English, right? Is it English? Huh? It's, you can't find it in the dictionary. Pantocrator, it's Dawit al-Kul. This is very powerful. Who now is telling us in this passage what are the characteristics of God the Father, who created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. When it says heaven and earth, that means if God created everything, he created the heaven. So in a way, we say we believe in what? In heaven. As we see the earth, but we believe in heaven, because he created heaven and earth and all things seen and unseen. Seen and unseen, that means we believe not just in the things we see, but we can see air, but we believe, we know that air is there. We can see the microbes in the air. We can't see the very far things. We can't see really all the stars. We can't look at the moon at all times. So there are things we can't see. And in an indirect way, we believe in angels. And we believe that devils also are there. This is the unseen world. Things seen and unseen. So, we finished with the passage of God the Father. Okay? Going to the second. And that's why this takes us now, as I said, the nature of God is Father and the Son. And if you remember why this creed was formed. Why? What did Aries say? What did Aries say? What did Aries say?
The Son is not God.
The people from last year should remember.
Where? Tell me. Who's from? You from last week? You from last year?
Isaac.
Yes. Come Isaac.
Over there.
Over there. Which one? Green or black? Black. Isaac. What did Aries say? What did Aries say? Yeah, go to your notes now. Cheating is okay now. What did Aries say? What was Aries' problem? Michael. Where's Michael? We just said it. I said it a few minutes ago when I started. So. Yeah, in a way, he denied the divinity of Christ. The divinity, he said, divinity of Christ. Christ is not God. That's that simple, without going into more detail. Aries said, Christ, the world, is not God. That's why you're going to find in the creed, the main passage is about the Son. You saw how big the about the Father is? About what? 7-8 words? What? How many? I don't know. In Arabic, it's 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's short. But when you go to the God, the Son, you're going to find the big passage, because it was defending Christ, the world. I know this topic is not very... I know, it's a little... I know, it's not that easy, but if something that you need to ask about, ask. Alright? Please. Anything that you need to ask about so far? or you forgot everything, Sukkah. Huh? Is it clear? Mm-hmm. A little bit? Huh? Okay, if you have any questions, let me know, please. Now we're going to go to the second or the third part in the creed. The first part was? The first part was?
One God.
One God. Second? God the Father. Third part? Now is coming to the third part, the only begotten Son. And when it says here, we believe, if you remember, we're going to find the word we believe three times. When we speak about the Father, we started with what? We believe in one God, the Father. Secondly, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to the Holy Spirit, yes, we believe in that. So you're going to find we believe to make sure that that's our faith, okay? We believe. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, one Lord. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is the only begotten Son of God. Begotten Son of God. I don't know how much detail that I can go with this, but I'm going to try to go off quickly, and if we have questions, we can ask. The only begotten Son of God, why we insist to say it's the Son? Why can't we name it anything else? Because of Aries. But couldn't we say it's the same God? Three in one. But why the Son? Why did we name the word the Son? Why we named Christ the Son? Okay, this is very good. He expresses the will of God the Father. Right. Any other reasons? Very simple reason. Yes, that's very good. Because the Son is similar, very similar to the God the Father. A simpler and the most accurate answer. Yes.
Because the Lord Jesus Christ refers to God as the Father.
Good. Very good. This is the best. And also, as I said, every word in the creed is biblical. Do you remember Epiphany? What happened? What happened? What did the voice say?
This is my
beloved Son. He's the one who revealed himself to us. I didn't call him the Son, right? He's the one. As I told you, we do not. The creed is a way that God revealed to us Himself. We did not alterate. We did not say this is God. This is what we need God to look like. No, He revealed to us, right? But what you said also was right. The only begotten Son of the Father, before all ages. That means before man was created, before the universe was created, before time was created, before all ages. Somebody would say, but I can't understand. What do you mean, before all ages? I don't understand. Can you give me an example? So the creed is giving you an example. It's like light out of light. True God of true God. You know what I mean? So this is an example. When you turn the light on, light come with light. So, as the light comes out of light, so this is, the Son is coming out of the Father. It's an example. It's show you. Give you something easy to understand. Begotten, not created. Begotten, not created. You know why it says that? Because created means what? Less than and difference in time. Right? If somebody is created, that means somebody created, right? You created, somebody created you and me and everyone, right? So that would be, whoever created something, that means there is a difference and a distance and in age. So now, this is begotten maulud ghair makhluq. Co-essential of one essence with the Father is in the same essence. Same essence, right? co-essential or in same essence with the Father. So the Son and the Father is of one essence, and the Holy Spirit. With the Father, by whom? By Christ, by the Word, all things were made. So that was the part of his divinity. Okay? This is the part of his divinity. This part of the creed is talking about the only begotten Son in his divinity. So it's going to go now to another part as of his humanity. Why God, the Son, took our flesh? That's why I said, who for us? So if I say, why Christ came? Because for us men and for our salvation. Came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary and became man. So the reason for his humanity is what?
Our salvation.
Why? Why he came? For what? For us. In other words, if we did not exist, he would never come into flesh. If we did not sin, he would never come to flesh. Alright? For us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. And became. That means Virgin Mary is part. Is part of salvation. She has a part here in salvation. Not she gave salvation. Right? Saint Mary did not give salvation. Right? But she gave humanity to Christ. Or Christ took humanity through her, right? So, okay, that's why we have to mention Saint Mary. And became man and was crucified under Pontius Pilate. Somebody will say, what does this person have to do with this? He wasn't a very good person to say his name in that 200, how many words we said? 220 words in the creed. What does Pilate has to do with this? Well, there is a reason. You know, in those times and those ages, there was no dates. You know what I mean? We can say, what date when Christ came? I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. At that time, nobody knew. Now we could say about 2,000 years ago, right? But at that time, there was no dates. So things were put historically by the main person, the king or the governor or the or whoever in that. So Pontius Pilate, that was the figure. So the creed wanted to say, this is not just a belief, it's history. It's written in history. And if you need to go to see it, you go find the date of Pontius Pilate and you're going to find that Pontius Pilate did such and such for Christ. So Christ exists. Not just our belief, but it's history also. Alright? That's why. Under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the dead, according to the scriptures. It's not just our belief. It's not just history, but also it was written in the scriptures. Can you give me any example in the Old Testament talking about Christ? He was gonna die, and he died and he was going to rise. Anything in the scripture said this in the Old Testament? Do you remember anything? Do you remember anything in the Old Testament?
Isaiah.
Anything in the scripture says that Christ did and was going to rise, right? There are or there was not? Any prophecies? I'm very sure you have anything in the curriculum about this?
Nothing.
Okay. I think it's a good thing to know, to go to the Old Testament and to find some of the prophecies about the Christ. One thing, we do this a lot. You know when?
In the Passover,
in the Zvoil Alam, in the Holy Week. All this book, you have the big book, huh? The Dalal, the Zvoil Alam, the book of the Holy Week, the Bascha, you find a lot of prophecies from different prophets talking about this period of time, right? So that's why we say according to the scriptures. It's not just our belief, is not just the history by Pontius Pilate, but also it was written in the scriptures. Okay? Right. Going to the third, how many parts so far? We still, this is the third. We're still, third, right? We believe in one God. Second is Father. Third, Son. The only begotten Son. But in the only begotten Son, there was the first part, which was His divinity, and then His humanity, and then another one about His what? His divinity. Now he's talking another time about His divinity. We're almost done, by the way. I'm not going to take long. He ascended into the heavens. He did not just rise and came on earth and that's it, and that was the end. No, He ascended into the heavens and sits at the right hand of His Father. And He is coming again in His glory. That's divinity right there. To judge the living and the dead. To judge. He's the judge. Huh? He's the judge. And not just this, whose kingdom shall have no end. That's God. You can, if you're talking about anything about this, this is God. Huh? It's the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Word. Right? So this is the second, or the third part in the creed. But the third part, because it was to defend Christ, who was Christ, now it took a whole a lot from the 220 words in the creed. Now we're going to the which part? Mm-hmm. Fourth part. The Holy Spirit. This part was formed in the year of, go to your notes. Huh? 381. Which year that was written? 381. Okay. Against who? The Macedonians. Okay, very good. The first part was written in? 325. Huh? 325. To defend the heresy of? Arius. Okay. How many bishops and archbishops attended the first council? And this one? We didn't say 150. You hear this all the time in the liturgy. You say, the Theodicene assembled at Nicaea, the 150 at Constantinople. This is the one. And the 200 at? You know what Ephesus is? Is we exalt, we magnify you, Saint Mary. So this is the introduction to the Kirum. Right? So that was the in Ephesus, and it was 200 bishops and archbishops and patriarchs to defend who Saint Mary was as the Theotokos. Okay? So this is the fourth part, right? The Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit. The Lord, again, we believe. Okay? Again, we believe. And now, the Lord. We said about the Son is the Lord, and now the Holy Spirit is the Lord, and is the life-giver. Life-giver. The Holy Spirit gives life. Who proceeds from the Father? What did we say about the Son? Huh? Only begotten Son. And now, who proceeds? We as Coptic, Orthodox, as Orthodox, not Coptic, just not all the Orthodox, we believe in two things I'm going to mention here, alright? First is why we say the only begotten for the Son and proceeds from the Father. Simply, we don't want to, that's what Christ gave us in the book of John 16, I believe. He said, the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father. So He's the one who mentioned that, right? As I told you, the Son has its body, and it shines light, and it emits heat, Right? This is the same thing. God the Father, the only begotten Son, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. Right? What we have an issue with the Catholics here in this part. The Catholics. Who is the who proceeds from the Father? The Catholic added the word and the Son. We don't agree in this. Is it in the? You want me to? I think it's in Saint John, John 16. لما قال روح حق الذي من عند الآب ينبثق هو يشهد لي. ممكن نبص. But the Catholics added here the part who proceeds from the Father, and they added the Son. So if you hear anyone in a church says the Son here, that means a Catholic, right? This is not our topic now, but this is, yeah, I wanted to mention it since we're talking about this. Who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. So we worship the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit because they are one God. And glorified, who spoke, so that we believe that the Holy Spirit is the one who spoke by the prophets. Okay? So all the prophets who wrote their scriptures, it was through the Holy Spirit who spoke them. Which part of the creed is this? Any questions so far? No.
I can't understand the part in why can't we agree with the Catholic saying proceeding from the Father and the Son? Because it is like it is putting the Father in a higher hypostasis than the Son.
Okay. It's not putting, as I said, can you say the Son? If you say, look at the Son. When I say the Son shines light and emits heat, does this mean that the Sun is more than the light or the heat, or they are all one? It's a different definition, and again, it's not us. I'll give you the reference right now. He said that proceeds from the Father. Well, I'll give you the.
I can check it in John around 17.
Let's say I'll give it to you right. I'll give it to you right now. So you can have it. Again, let me repeat what I said. It said, the creed, every word is biblical. So we did not make those words. You know what I mean? So every word has to be biblical. We cannot say. 16? 26. Okay, thank you. Can you read it, Alpha, please?
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
I think it's a little bit. Is that one?
Yeah, the same thing.
No, but hold on. Oh, 15, okay. Alright, sorry. 15?
Was blind now.
No, it's okay. You read it out loud, please. Yes, yes, that's right.
15:26.
Go, read it out loud, please.
Okay. But when the Helper comes.
The Helper comes. Who's the Helper?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Okay, continue.
Whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father.
That's enough. This is 15:26. Read it again. So, the Helper, read it again.
But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you.
Who's going to send it?
The Father.
The Father.
He's talking about himself. When I will send. So, this Christ is talking. Huh? Let me.
Can I? Because I'm looking at it now. Yeah,
for appreciate the tablets and things. Don't know. 15. Okay. But when the who's talking here is Christ Himself, right?
Yes.
Okay. But when the Helper comes, which is the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you, this is Christ, I shall send. So Christ is sending the Holy Spirit. When He arises and ascending to heaven, He shall send the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened where? The Pentecost, right? When they were gathered in the Aliyah. Right. I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. He did not send proceeds from the Father and me. Right? That's why we insist, as I said, that was a big problem between us and the Catholics in the old age. Part of it, this is
thank
one
you.
Of the...
Thank you.
Thank you. That was one of the big problems between us at the Catholic when the split happened. That was one of the biggest, but also it was politics. I'm just saying, but this one was one big one now, right? He is worshipped, glorified, who spoke by the prophets. Now we're going to the last one, to the last part. Which part is this? Number one? No.
Five.
Okay, right. Let's repeat. Let's review. First was God. Father, no? Only begotten Son, Holy Spirit, Catholic and Apostolic Church. Catholic and Universal or Apostolic Church. And in one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. That means we believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We confess one baptism for the remission of sins. This part, يعني طبعا, it's a little bit controversial because right now, we share with the faith with our other churches for sure. You know what I mean? Not all churches are the same right now, as you know. You know what I mean? But we believe with them in one God. We believe in them in most of the faith. But when it comes to baptism, it's a little different because some people understand baptism in different ways. You know what I mean? That's why when it comes to Protestant, it's a big gap. I can't be just linear and say it's okay, we're all, no. It's different. You gotta understand that. Because in the book of Agabia, you always say one God, one faith. One God, one baptism, right? Do you pray this in the morning? Mm-hmm. In the morning, right? Rabb واحد, معمودية واحد.
One Lord.
One faith. One baptism. One Lord is fine. One faith, يعني, شوي. It is. Okay, let it go. One baptism, it depends. Some people understand baptism is just a way to say you're Christian, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a celebration. It's not a celebration in our faith. Is it a celebration? No. It's a dogma. It's a way to get the new life. It's the way to be reborn. It's a way to you're dying and coming with Christ back. So it's different. So I can't say, you know what, you understand? Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into this right now. But I just wanted to mention this part. If we believe in one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, we confess one baptism for the remission of sins. Because we believe any person who is baptized, even if he's or she's 60 years old and they are baptized, all the previous sins are washed. Okay? Period. But sorry, you can't be baptized again. None of you. None. It's one baptism. That's why we do not repeat baptism, by the way. One baptism. Even if a person denies Christ and come back, no baptism is required. There are certain prayers are required, but not baptism. One baptism, because Christ have died one time. We cannot make Christ to die more than one time. One baptism. Okay? Last part, we confess... No, one before, but... Wait, what did I say? One baptism? There is... Oh, what did I do here? oh, I wanted to do put this as a separate part. Sorry. But I should have just took it out from here. You know what I mean? Because this is a different thing. And so one Holy Catholic or Universal Apostolic Church, that's one. And then one, we confess, one baptism for the remission of sins. And last, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen. So we believe in the life and the eternity and the afterlife. Anyone who does not believe in the upcoming life is not Christian. Right? Period. Anyone does not believe that the resurrection of dead is a fact is not Christian. Okay? As I told you in the beginning, it's a measure to see who is Christian and who is not. How many parts of the creed so far?
Seven.
Okay, that's good. Seven is a good number. God, we believe in one God. Second, Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Catholic Apostolic Church, one baptism for the right. Seven parts of the creed. You need to recite it while you really understand it. And you measure yourself. And sometimes you have to review. Do I really believe in this? I really need to make some readings about this part. You know what I mean? Each one of us may have to have this kind of thoughts. Because this is a part to develop and to improve. Any questions? I'm done. That means you know it all. Yes.
I didn't mention something about
I don't know. I think you're gonna have a whole, yani, a whole topic about the Trinity. I'm pretty sure you're gonna write it. You have a topic about Trinity, right? About
yeah,
the
Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity. Yeah. I know this is just, as I said, it's each word is selected very cautiously and carefully, but it has a lot more into it, you know what I mean? But this is just a whole general overview of the creed. But I hope that you pray with understanding afterwards, going forward. And I tell you the truth, when you start understanding the creed and pray with understanding, you're going to have... as if you are on hand, yani,
solid
home, right, that's the word, solid foundation. You're going to have this feeling inside you. And I hope you just get to this, because it completely makes a difference. I know our godparents, our fathers and grandfathers and mothers, they had this kind of faith, they didn't need to have a lot of knowledge. You know, and their faith was so fine. But in our ages today, you really have to know the knowledge. Especially for you, as a free servant, and you will become a servant, you need to know what your faith is. And to defend, and to talk, and to reply, and to give some understanding to people, to know who you are, what you believe in. So I hope, yani, this was a quick overview of the creed. And I need you to pray with it in the upcoming times, just thinking about each word. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.